You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours with Community Connections. We've got a group in that I've never heard of before, to be honest, which is pretty poor, and I guess a lot of you probably haven't either. Let's get started. I've got with me a group called Quilts for Orphans. I've got both Annette and Deborah. Hello to you too.
Hello, Alan.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Alan.
No, not a problem. Great to have you along. First of all, tell us what, for those of us that we don't know, what is Quilts for Orphans?
Away you go, Deb.
Okay, over to you, Deb. Well, we're an organisation that commenced in 2007, and in those days it really wasn't an organisation. It was just a wonderful woman commencing with her own initiative
to make beanies for children in India.
But obviously it's got past that now.
Correct, yeah. So we started off on a private property in what we used to call the barn.
And so how many people started off the organisation?
There was probably only one, and then it went to probably half a dozen. And today we have 40-plus women involved.
So who got the decision to do it? And then when they did it, how did they get all the other people involved?
A wonderful woman by the name of Gaynor Peterson and her husband Reg. And they lived in Mombok, and they're now they were retired at the time, and now they're seriously retired.
I bet they are.
They fundraised to build the barn on their property. A lot of that fundraising was done with a wonderful woman by the name of Yvonne Grant, who had the bridal shop in Mombok.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And next door was her husband Don with the mower shop. So they finally retired, and with all of Yvonne's stock of bridal gowns and debutante gowns, they had a bit of a do at Mont de Lancey Historical Museum. You might know that terrific location. We've had a great partnership with them for many years.
Yep.
And that kicked off the fundraising to build the barn.
Yep.
And on it went from there. And then they retired and sold on. And then we went to the shed, which was in another private property in Mombok, graciously provided to us. And then the mission was on to find a hall through our wonderful local council.
Yep.
And that's how we are now since Christmas, the Christmas week, wasn't it? And at the Christmas week 2019, we got the hall, the keys to the hall at Hoddles Creek Community Hall.
Oh, that's terrific. So obviously along the line, people decide that this is a great thing to be involved in, a great organisation. And so are you continually picking up new people? Or, I mean, obviously you wouldn't mind.
We do, actually. We find in recent times it's been through a lot of our associations with local community markets.
Yep.
And a little brochure that I just gave you before, Alan, I hand those out to people. And they contact us and start stitching with us.
Right.
Yep.
So when you say you're at the markets, it's only to hand the brochures out. Like, you don't sell any of the quilts.
We do, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yes. By selling just a few quilts, that keeps the machines literally turning.
Yep.
And that mainly is to cover the cost of the backing fabric, which is, you know, the non...
Right.
The pretty side is all the pieced work.
Yep.
We should have bought a quilt with us, shouldn't we?
the listeners can't see
we
it.
We didn't think of that, Annette, but we could have bought it for you, Alan, for your benefit.
That's true, yeah.
And so the backing part of it is that usually the underside.
Yep.
So we buy that material and the wadding inside, which is the soft, fluffy stuff inside.
Yep.
That's our greatest expense.
Yep.
And so we raise a little bit of funds that way. Yep.
So do most of your quilters, they supply the material for the actual quilt themselves, do they, or is that donated to?
Well, it's amazing how that happens. We call them quilt tops, don't we, Annette?
Yep.
And the quilt tops, I mean, quilters are the best recyclers that you can think of because small, tiny pieces of fabric.
The quilters are the people that produce your quilts, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. The quilters are the ones who piece the quilt together and make the beautiful, unique patterns and designs on the quilt. And they can be very scrappy pieces of fabric, or they can be quite exotic fabrics that have come from around the world. And they are normally very expensive, those some of the quilt fabrics. But all of ours are donated to us by our terrific stitchers.
Oh, terrific.
Or people who are giving up their... Now, this is a new word for stashing. Alan. It's called a stash, Alan.
A stash? What's a stash?
Well, you've got a shed at home, right?
Yeah.
And in the corner, you've got a box of bits.
Junk, yeah.
Junk, right, that you call, I've got to hang on to those because I'm going to need them.
And never do.
And so that's what happens with quilters and stitchers. You end up with lots of fabric in a box.
In
your cupboards.
Or on your shelves.
But they've accumulated that from other things, is that what you're saying?
They've accumulated it through their trips to Spotlight or to other lovely, beautiful shops, and they buy this, this and this, and they make a gorgeous quilt, and then there's all the pieces that are left or fabric they never actually use.
Yeah.
And so you end up with a lot of it. It actually breeds, I'm sure of it. It just breeds in the corner. Bits like... nuts and bolts. So hang on a minute. I didn't have that much stuff in the shed, 10 years ago, but look at the stuff I've got now. And quilting and sewing rooms around the country are just like that. So we actually say to people, donate your unfinished quilt projects, finished.
You can finish off somebody else's quilt, can you, if someone started?
Yeah. Same as a project that you've had. You might have been building something in the shed, and it might have been a cupboard, and you never got around to putting the doors on.
Yeah.
But someone comes along and says, I'll give us the bits and I'll finish it and give it to someone who needs it. And a quilt can be the same. You never get around to finishing it, so give it to us, we'll finish it, and we'll give it to a child or an adult in need and give them a warm hug, a fabric hug.
Fair enough. Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me Quilts for Orphans. I knew nothing about them, and I guess quite a lot of you didn't either, so we're learning about them as we go along. Annette, tell us a bit more about the origins of Quilts for Orphans, please.
Well, Gaynor was helping Helen from Treasure Corner, which is the opportunity shop in Mount Evelyn, and the focus of that opportunity shop was a work in India, around orphanages in India. And so the original things that Helen and Gaynor were making in the home were for the orphanages in India, and it sort of developed into quilts, and then family members became involved with Gaynor, her daughter became involved, and a number of other people. And as Deborah said, it was very much based in the home, and it was a lounge room activity with some ladies who had that focus. And it's grown now, and while we continued to supply orphanages for some time, there's been a little bit of a change in the way children without parents are managed now in communities, including even in India.
Right.
And so there's not so much, you can't sort of identify an orphanage as such, although in some countries they still continue. But so the work of Quilts for Orphans expanded a bit, and we've since picked up other groups in other countries. So we had quilts going to China. We've had parts of Africa. Thailand was another place, Timor as well.
Sorry, I didn't want to cut across. So if Quilts for Orphans, so you've got all these quilts, how do you decide where they're going to go and to which group they should go?
Through our network of people, you hear about something that maybe someone's been travelling in an area and has noted that it's particularly poor, or we hear of someone, for instance, our lady Dawn from who goes to Lesotho, she travels there until recently, almost annually, and she taught young women there to make jewellery, and they developed their own ability to run a small business and look after themselves and provide for their families. And so we resourced her with a number of quilts to take on her trips as well. And her work became quite acceptable to both government and local authorities, and she had extra baggage allowance made for her so that she could take those kinds of things over. And we knew, because of her connection with the local people, that the quilts were getting to where they were where they needed should. And appreciated.
So do you have organisations writing to you, asking for them, or is it just you as a group go looking for somewhere to send your
It's a bit
quilts?
Of both, really. Yeah. One of the groups that came to our attention was Maboba's Promise. And I don't quite know how we made that connection, but we have since supplied a number of quilts to Maboba, who originally had a work in Afghanistan, and the quilts did go there. But more recently, because of the closure now of that
facility
route, she has actually brought children to Australia and has them housed in her own home, her sister's home, and we've supplied quilts for them. Currently she's looking for sewing machines and computers because people who have come as refugees from Afghanistan are looking to be trained and, be able to work. So
in this case, you're going a bit outside the quilts, aren't you?
Well, I said to her that we can't actually supply machines, we can't supply computers. Our focus is quilts, but we would put it out there. So we've mentioned it in our newsletter. And, of course, people who are closer to her in Sydney, you can pick up on that and supply, whatever her need is. But, Deb, do you want to talk a little bit about Maboba and how we came to know her?
Yes, it was an amazing set of circumstances. And we were saying to Alan before we started that we have stitchers all around the country. And this wonderful stitcher in Sydney, Sylvia, her neighbour was Maboba. And what happened was Sylvia was sending quilts to us to distribute where we needed to, but her neighbour said, do you think maybe we could have 60 quilts to take to Afghanistan? And Sylvia came to us and said, oh, do you think, how many do you think we could possibly give her? And she was actually doing a bit of a road trip with her husband down from Sydney. So she came down to visit us in Mombok, and I said, Sylvia, walk this way. And into our inventory, we had hundreds of quilts. And she didn't really know how her one or two quilts she was sending every now and again were distributed. So we chose 60 quilts and put it in her little van, and she took them back to Maboba, who has an order of Australia for her work with these orphanages in Kabul and other country areas called Hope, and her family. And Maboba, because of her order of Australia, at that time was able to send lots of things through the military, our own Australian forces. And so that's how our quilts got to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you just said you took her out the back and you've got all these quilts. So I assumed that you produced six and you shot six off. That's not quite right, is it? You do have the stock of them
as well. We've got, I don't know, currently on the shelves we'd probably have, I don't know, about 100.
We were doing a bit of a count yesterday. There's probably a couple of hundred sitting there and another couple of hundred still to be made and another 100 elsewhere in the pipeline. There's hundreds of them.
Well, we sent 70 yesterday with Peter from Change the One. Now, Peter is travelling to Vietnam and he is connected with an orphanage over there that houses children and adults who are suffering from the after effects of Agent Orange from the Vietnam War.
Yeah, right.
And Peter has been interested in this work for some... Well, he actually probably started it. And it's been... because he was concerned that not all aid gets to the point where it's needed.
And that can happen.
So much is siphoned off for admin and all this sort of stuff. So Peter was keen to see that it got to the point where it was going to be used. And they've built dormitories and schoolrooms and toilet blocks for the areas over there that need them. And so he's been delighted to pick up 70 quilts yesterday to take over for that home over there.
That's terrific, isn't it?
And, that's over 60 kilos in weight.
Yeah.
And volume was five heavily packed tea chests. True. So it's a lot of volume.
Yeah. Mm. So who pays the cost of getting these quilts overseas? Do you yourselves have to fundraise? Or
no, we ask the people who have got the connection with the aid organisation to make sure that the quilts are delivered.
Yep.
And so at the point they leave our hall, it's in the hands of the person who's the connector.
And so you're sort of saying, like Peter and Ant, he takes them overseas, but they wouldn't all be taken over. Like they wouldn't all be taken by someone, would they? I mean, not everybody's going, or everyone goes.
All of those 70 quilts will go to Vietnam on Friday.
No, no, no. What I mean is every time you send something overseas, like not everybody can take them, do they?
Yes. So
do you have someone go with them every time?
Yes. Mostly, yeah.
I can't think of a situation.
We've only had one time
we tried to do some postage and that failed.
Right.
So they always travel personally. And
well, that's good because that doubly assures that they're going to get where they're supposed to, isn't it?
Shall I give the recent example of the Syrian Association who asked us through, and this was through one of the networking conversations at markets. It's a wonderful thing at markets, networking.
Yeah.
And this woman was doing knitting to give to a Syrian Association of Australia to then give to children knitted garments in established refugee
camps
in Syria. So then she asked us to come on board, and Annette did her duty of and diligence and investigating them and determining that all was fine.
Yep.
And so we ended up, how many quilts did we give them? It was about 50 quilts we gave them, and they went in a container, Alan.
Oh, right.
So this this local Syrian group fundraise to buy a container.
Oh, great.
So in that container, our quilts went into that container as well as this other knitting group's.
Yep.
All went into that container and whatever else they had decided to distribute to the camps.
And then I guess, like everything else, COVID must have stymied a few plans, like people weren't travelling overseas. So how did that affect your organisation?
Well, for a start, we not long moved into the hall and our gathering days could no longer continue. So for a start, we weren't assembling together to get the work done. Like a normal gathering day, we've had up to 24 ladies come.
Right.
And we have several stations around the hall. So we've got the hand stitching corner, we've got the quilting machine up the back, which is training people. We've got the corner where cutting is done, where quilts are squared up and the bindings are prepared. We've got the section where we've got several sewing machines set up and the girls have hit the machines and are assembling quilts. So there's a lot of activity in the hall. The girls are registering and doing an inventory over on the admin desk. Mm. And we have a library as well for girls to borrow books and be inspired by things. Yep. But I'll talk more about their little market trading table later on. But anyway, all of that didn't happen because of COVID. So suddenly we're all at home in our craft rooms with our stashes, and what do we do? So lots of ladies did lots of sewing during COVID.
Terrific.
So when we finally emerged from COVID, we were overwhelmed with quilt top gifts.
And you wouldn't have been able to hand any out during COVID either, would you?
Well, we couldn't deliver any out and we couldn't actually receive any, like unless we could go to the post office and pick up a parcel. But we couldn't really do much other than just accumulate what we got. And when we could move a little bit around, we did then manage to make a gift to a number of local organisations, and because we weren't doing anything overseas, that was a direction that we started to take.
Yep.
So, for instance, women's refuges, retreats, places where people go because of domestic violence at home.
Yep.
We had some requests from organisations to gift quilts in that direction, so we did a number of those.
Oh, good.
And they're
locally in the Yarra Valley.
Well, Ben Warren was one of them.
Yep.
Yes. And I don't know whether you'll recall the unfortunate death rate that happened at Kirkbray. There was a, you know, quite a difficult time for them. So we felt that the residents there needed a bit of encouragement and comfort and staff as well. Yeah. So we gifted a number of, well, we I think we gifted every member there a quilt.
Gee, that's terrific.
So, you know, we hope that that brought some cheer to their lives. Yep. There was a particular family that we gave some quilts to because there had been a death in the family.
How did you find out about some
Well, usually it's our members.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Sort of, you know, working around, they hear of somebody or something comes up, and then we sort of know that there's, you know, they can verify that the situation is a genuine situation.
Yeah.
So locally was our focus. Our focus was, you know, during that time in COVID, and we continue to have those connections with those organisations as well.
Are you going to expand back overseas again?
Yeah, apart? we still managed to give away about 300 quilts locally.
I took some quilts down to the Queen Elizabeth Centre the other day. That's in Noble Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's an organisation that works with young families to help with sleep patterns, early years learning.
Yep.
And it has a particular focus too, I think, to refugee families. So they use our quilts as play mats, and the mats go on the floor and the mums can come with their babies have these special times to learn about early years.
Yep.
And so we've put some quilts in there. And
Ukraine?
Oh, yes, recently Ukraine.
Yep. So how are you getting them to Ukraine?
Well, they're not going overseas. There's been a number of people come to Australia. Yep. 650, I think, were the first batch.
Yep.
And a number of them are being billeted around the Melbourne area.
Yep.
And we happen to know personally some families who are billeting Ukrainian people.
Oh, great,
So we've made a gift of 50 quilts to them. They've been distributed, and our blue and yellow ones were particularly popular.
I'll bet.
And I'm to bring another request to the committee when we meet about a further gifting to them. So...
And the sewing machine story?
Oh, yes. We had several de-stash gifts.
Right.
And a de-stash is when craft rooms are being cleaned out and ladies are divesting themselves of huge amounts of fabric and threads and things. Anyway, we got a horn sewing cabinet with a very fine faff machine in it.
Yeah.
And so we collected this cabinet and machine, and... The lady from Ukraine who is being billeted by one of our members actually makes purses, and she does a very fine job of quilting the purse. It looks almost like tooled leather. And the finish of the pockets inside, the zips and everything, is just absolutely beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Just beautiful work. But she was having a little bit of difficulty on Libby's machine. So we thought this would be a fine gift to her if we gave her the cabinet and the machine.
Oh,
and she could work on this machine herself. So we very happily delivered that to the home, and Natalia's stitching away on the new on the new old faff machine.
Yeah. All right.
So that's and then hardly a week had gone by, and we had another one, which sadly was a deceased estate. Oh. But the daughter was very keen for us to have. The craft room contents. Mum had been a supporter of Quilts for Orphans, and she'd been to a number of our exhibitions, and she had been a very varied crafter. She had a lot of variety in her craft room and some fine work of hers as well. And so, again, we got another horn cabinet and machine, and a good supply of things, which will be very useful for us.
And a DeLonghi coffee machine.
Oh,
that we've been drinking a lot of coffee at the hall lately. That's pretty nice.
Annette and Deborah, you've got some exhibitions and markets coming up. Tell us a bit about that so we can support the place.
Yes, absolutely. We will be having the first one in quite a number of years, obviously, because of COVID. So we're going to be back at Montelancy in November from the weekend of the 19th, 20th. Through to the Draft Horse Festival the following weekend.
Showing the quilts off.
We will be. So in their gorgeous little gallery, we'll have quilts there to display and to sell, which is part of our little bit of fundraising, and as much craft that we can assemble together as well. And that's one of our main fundraising events. And it's just terrific. You can come in and touch and feel and cuddle quilts. And we take our entire inventory, so we'll have hundreds of quilts there stacked.
And you do sell a few there at the time.
Yeah, we do. Good. Yep. Quite reasonably priced, and we do that throughout the Yarra Valley at market events throughout the month.
So you take the quilts to some of the markets, do you?
Yeah, we do. One of the ones that I was at last Sunday was at Yarra Glen Market, and that particular organisation allows for one community group per market, so we get in there.
So what other markets have you got coming up in the near future?
The Belgrave Big Dreams Market is this coming Sunday, and that's a community market at Sir Thomas More Primary School in Belgrave.
Yep.
The following week I'm in Elwood, which is not local, I just sort of stretched myself to get some to cover for COVID.
Yep.
And then also too we'll be supporting the Millgrove Residents Action Group in Millgrove. We're doing their market for the first time shortly. And in June, we'll also be going to the Don Valley, to the Wild Group, Market at their hall in Don Valley.
Terrific.
So, we're all around the place.
Sounds good, mate.
All right, Healesville, one of my local favourite spots.
Is it? Well, I've got to take a quick break, but as soon as we've come back, I suggest you all get your pens and pencils ready and paper, and we'll give you some contact details for you to be able to get involved with the Quilts for Orphans on one way or another. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 4 minutes to one and 13 degrees. Right, ladies, you've got us really excited about Quilts for Quilters and Quilts for Orphans. I think it's a terrific project. I'm disappointed I hadn't heard about it earlier. But anyway, let's find out more about it. How are we going to find out more about it if we're listening today?
Right. To contact us, if you would like to volunteer and work with us, Annette Stone is our president, and her phone number is 0407 648 618. So that's 0407 648 618, or email us on info@quiltsfororphans.org.
That's all one word.
Yes. And our workstation, our workshop, is the Hoddles Creek Community Hall at 6:30 Gembrook Launching Place Road, Hoddles Creek. When we meet very regularly. We're there every Tuesday, and we're there on the second Saturday of the month as well.
Yep. Just check that we are there on the Tuesday, though. Then give me a ring and let me know if you're interested in coming on Tuesdays.
Yep.
And we'll just check that someone is going to be there, because not everyone can turn up on the Tuesday.
That's fair enough too.
So what we need for you to help us do is you can donate your time at our monthly sewing days and Tuesdays, stitching with us, and you don't need a skill. We will help you move the iron across the ironing board. It's okay. Donate finished quilt tops, and the sizes are on our website. Donate your unfinished quilts projects, or donate quilting or backing fabrics.
So, and also, you didn't mention there, are you looking for quilters?
Yes, of course. Yes, in the very first thing I said, donate your time. So come and volunteer at Quilts for Orphans, and we would love to have you on board. And you really do not need any skills. We will teach you everything you need to know.
But do people have to come to those days? I mean, can they do some of this stuff at home? Is it possible to do some of this stuff?
Yes, we will give you work to take home.
Yep. So what I'm thinking about, if we've got listeners today that just... they're too far from Hoddles Creek. Like, they could still become part of your organisation by doing things at home for you.
Absolutely. On our website, you'll find the instructions for the size of the quilts that we require.
Yep.
And they can check that out. Cot size quilts and single bed quilts we make.
Yep.
And all we need is the top. We do the batting and the backing and the quilting.
Oh,
so
right.
If they just assemble the tops. And then the post office address, they can post them to us. or deliver to the hall on one of the days, or contact me and we'll find a pickup point that's close to you.
Because I think you mentioned you've got some people even interstate as part of your group, haven't you?
Quick little example, phone call the other day, an email through our website for a girl in New South Wales, and really only just started learning to sew, and she was sewing for Days for Girls. It's another good conversation.
Right.
And wondered how she could help. So I explained to her simply how she could with doing some quilt tops, and she was going to go to her sewing teacher for some help and send us some quilt tops. And there's someone who wasn't even a quilter.
Right, ladies, unfortunately, it's time for the 1 o'clock news. Thank you for coming in today, and we'll talk to you again hopefully some other time.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.